Joseph Pasek of barnburner.ca, our daily podcast entitled Fired Up. And we're definitely fired up as another installment of Ballin here, and it's NBA season preview of Ballin with Drew Ebanks of On Point Basketball. And this guy, I had to bring him back, Rory Mitchell of the Mitchell Report Unleashed, our MMA, wrestling, boxing, NFL, NBA insider, whatever you want to call it. I had to bring it back since it's the NBA season preview. Now, let's first start off with the Eastern Conference. Let's first start off with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Cleveland Cavaliers.
Can we say hello first? Go ahead, everybody. Hello, everybody knows you're the Adrian Wojnarowski of Canada here.
Come on. That's Drew Ebanks of On Point Basketball. You want to say hello? Say hello.
How's everybody doing this week? We hope you guys had a fun in the first two podcasts. It's the opening week coming up for the NBA, and we're all hyped.
Hold on, hold on. You're asking how's everybody doing. Don't you wait to hear them the answer, first of all, Drew?
No, wait, I want to ask
let's
you
the
first.
Answer. All right. Rory.
So wait, am I chopped liver? Am I chopped liver here?
No, you say hello too.
Rory, what's going on? On Point Ballin Episode 3. Rory from the Mitchell Report Unleashed, available on SoundCloud. We are here ready to talk some hoops with my boy Drew Ebanks and Joseph Pasek. Let's get this show started.
All right, before I was rudely interrupted by Adrian Wojnarowski from Canada here, the Cleveland Cavaliers, arguably a great, great team. Over the years, the last two, 3 years, winning the NBA title, going to the NBA Finals, and they have done sort of, a shakeup. Dwayne Wade coming in, Dwayne Wade, LeBron, best of friends. They have a very good second unit now. Drew, what do you think of Cleveland? Can they overcome, and let's face it, they will not be happy unless they win the title. You know, Boston is great in the East. Hopefully the Raptors are great in the East. But what do you expect from the Cleveland Cavaliers?
Well, I expect the same thing that they've been, you know, going through the last few years. I expect them to be right up there towards the top of the Eastern Conference or at the top of the Eastern Conference. They've added some players. Obviously, they've added a big one in Isaiah Thomas. He may not play, you know, for a little while. But I love the addition of Jay Crowder to that team. I think the Boston Celtics lost a lot in terms of their grit and their intensity and their defensive prowess when they lost a couple guys like Avery Bradley and Jay Crowder. And then as you added, you know, they obviously lost Kyrie Irving. But I think they're just still going to be a team. Any team with LeBron James is going to be right there, front and center. Now, he's going through a little bit of injury woes. I'm kind of wondering what's going on here. Opening night, I want to see him on the court taking on Kyrie Irving. I don't want to hear another thing. He may not play. He's sitting out. Listen, man, I hope he doesn't sit out opening night. What do you guys think about that?
Well, I'll be honest, he's not going to sit out. This is a big game. This is a marquee game. It's opening night. We know what LeBron does. He's team petty. You know, we always see him the year that he won the championship with Cleveland, you know, the Ultimate Warrior shirt, the Kermit the Frog hat. So he's playing petty games. He's playing my games with the Boston Celtics. So, you know, I'm staying tuned. I'm ready for that game. The one thing about Cleveland that sticks out with me is going to be Derrick Rose. How's his health going to hold up, you know? Issues with the knees. He's not the most healthiest person of the bunch, but, you know, he's going to have to carry a big load at the point guard position. You're looking at, you know, with Isaiah Thomas going to not be coming back until, you know, close January, maybe February is what the rumor mill is saying. It should be interesting. This is the deepest team Cleveland's ever produced in the NBA, you know, and LeBron has no excuses this year. It's championship or bust. They're going to most likely finish in the number one seed. And I don't think they sweep everybody along the way, but, you know, their biggest two competitors that they got to play against are going to be Boston and arguably the Milwaukee Bucks, to be honest.
All right.
And you know what? I think their move, sorry, Joe, to cut you off. I think, as you pointed out at the beginning, the depth of that team is incredible. You know, when you obviously have a guy like Tristan Thompson coming off the bench, and he's looking to probably be sixth man of the year, he's saying, you know, that's going to be a pretty big force to come off the bench for that team. Obviously, a Canadian guy, so we hope he steps up. He had a rough playoffs, but hopefully he's going to step up and really do it this season. Sometimes it's an adjustment, but Tristan's been there before, a couple seasons before. He's come off the bench and played really well, so we hope he continues that.
One final thought on Cleveland. How much thought do you put into the preseason, since they had the second worst record in the Eastern Conference at 1-4, Drew?
No, never. I mean, and the thing is, it's harder to gauge with a short preseason. I was always the one to say preseason was too long. For some reason, I'm thinking this preseason is short. It seems like it's over before it started, but I think it's better to get the game started anyways. You know, I never take stock in preseason records. There's been a times when the Raptors have been almost unbeatable in preseason, and then when the season came around, the record kind of faltered from there. So I think it doesn't mean all that much. They got the best player in the world. They are pretty much getting ready for the season.
All right. So let's talk about the top four or five Eastern Conference team. Let's go with the Boston Celtics next. Boston also making adjustments. You mentioned Kyrie Irving, Howard there. How do you think they're going to gel? Are they going to gel fast? Because in my opinion, they have to gel fast if they want to contend with Cleveland. If they don't gel, the season may go down. They want to get number one, two, three seed. If they don't gel fast, I don't think they're going to get a top two or three seed. What do you say, Warren, first?
I'm going to be honest here. I like this team a lot. Offensively, this team is going to be nice. Gordon Hayward, a lot of people don't know about Gordon Hayward, of him playing over in Utah. Utah doesn't get a lot of TV time, so now Boston. You know, he's going to have a reunited with Brad Stevens as his coach. The two biggest stand-ups I like on this team here is going to be Jason Tatum from Duke, the rookie, and Jaylen Brown. I really feel that's the reason why they had to make the move for Jae Crowder and Avery Bradley. I get it. You got two defensive pieces. You send one over to Detroit with Avery Bradley, Jae Crowder, again, to Cleveland. But you got Jaylen Brown that's just athletic, right? And I feel Jason Tatum is the second coming to Kevin Durant. Now, not on scoring parameters, but just the length and how scary it's going to look. Because what I see happening in Boston, Boston's got wing defenders with length, similar to what you see in Milwaukee right now. So it should be interesting. You know, it's going to most likely be Boston. Like I said, Boston, Milwaukee, Cleveland in the last mix of it. I know we'll get into the Raptors and you know, we'll talk great about that. But I really feel Boston's going to be exciting, a lot of offense. My only concern is their post presence. They have no rebounders. They don't really have a solid big. And I think Al Horford is standing on his last leg, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right. They have a little bit of a dearth. They don't have as much depth at that center spot. Obviously, they are going to be backed up. Horford's going to be backed up by Baines. You know, I'm not sold. I don't know. This team, offensively, as you say, they have it. They got players. Marcus Morris, he's a guy who can, you know, put up 15, 20 a game. Brown, as you mentioned, I love his enthusiasm. Sometimes he's a bit hot-headed, and for a rookie player, he kind of, you know, rubbed me the wrong way a few times, and he was challenging some of the more established players. I think he's got to just stay within himself and play the right way. But on the wing side, you make some great points. I mean, Jason Tatum, really and truly, a lot of people who are looking at him say this guy could have and possibly should have been the number one overall pick, you know, in the draft. He is an absolute gem. He's going to be incredible for them. And, you know, I think the thing about Boston is going to be their defense, guys. They lost the heart, I think, in Avery Bradley. They lost a lot as well as the young gentleman who got traded to the Cavs, as well, as we mentioned earlier. So I think it's for them, is this unit going to be able to stop players? And is Kyrie Irving going to be the leader that he wasn't able to be under LeBron's shadow?
I'll say this. He's going to be more than a leader. I'm going to go on record, and I'm going to say this right now. Kyrie Irving is going to be your 2017-2018 MVP.
What? Oh my goodness gracious, folks.
Yep.
And what if he isn't? What are you going to give me and Drew if he isn't?
There's not going to be no giveaways. I'm going to be honest. All right, so we'll go to the keg. So for all the American listeners, they may not know what the keg is. It's one of them.
All right, good, good. We'll have steak, Drew. Come on, we'll have steak. Now, speak about...
We got to go to, like, some other... what's the place across from the Air Canada Center? We got to go to that spot.
Harbor City.
That's where we're going.
Hey, listen, hey, we heard, I just broke news before we even started this, is that, yo, Drake has a new establishment, restaurant, sports bar, so we don't even have to steak there, too, so we might have to go check that out.
All right, we'll go there. Now, we'll represent the global ambassador of the next team that we're talking about, the Toronto Raptors. All right, the Toronto Raptors, at the end of the year last year, before the series, the GM said, we have to have a culture change. We have to have more of shooting. Well, they've got C.J. Miles. They got rid of Patrick Patterson, Corey Joseph. What do you think the Raptors arguably were based out of Toronto? What do you think their chances? Do you think they could be the first seed, second seed, third seed, fourth seed? Do they drop back and not win 50 games this year, Drew?
Well, I mean, I think the Raptors are overlooked, guys. And I was talking to a media guy last night, actually. He's really bullish on the Toronto Raptors. He sees them being able to get it done defensively. And then on offense, it's just a matter of execution. It looks like they'd also like to feed the ball into JV at times. But you mentioned C.J. Miles. The guy was absolutely sizzling against the Bulls, 27 points. In that one, a big fourth quarter. What was that, 6 threes for him? If he can stay that consistent, the way he's been playing preseason, the Raptors have themselves a real X factor. And I think that's been missing for this team, that person who's going to come up, you know, that maybe is not expected to, but always going to be there for them. So I think teams better not overlook the Raptors. I see them really and truly no lower than fourth, and I could see them being second in the East.
Rory?
A couple things that stick out. You know, it's heavily loaded on the backcourt. DeMar DeRozan, DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Lowry, those are their big focal points. My biggest concern is going to be in their post. I'm not a big fan of JV. I'm going to be honest. I think he's a little soft at first.
Feed him the rock.
He's a little soft, and I think what you need to do with JV is if you don't get what the production you want to see from him, I would like, and I'm going to go on record with this one, I would like them to go to make a deal with Detroit and bring over Andre Drummond to the Raptors. That would be instant offense and rebounding galore. And if Serge Ibaka can go back to his old ways of playing when he before he left OKC, where he's a dominant post player, he's a shot blocker, he's not settling for these 18-foot jumpers or anything like that, and he can actually just bang in the post the way he needs to, then I'm going to say this right now. The Raptors could be possibly looking at themselves in the Eastern Conference Finals, but I think it's going to be a little different this year, right? The East is weak, you know what I mean? And there's really four or five teams in the East right now, and the Raptors are being one of them. Where they finish in the seeding, yeah, I'm going to say fourth or fifth. I don't think they'll be second, just because there's a couple X factor teams out there. We have to see how they play. But I'd like to see for the Canadians over here. I'm not a fan of the Raptors, right? I do their game reports and whatnot and all that good stuff. But you know, I'd like to see them do good just for the Canadian crowd. So. Hopefully they can make it past the second round, but it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough.
Well, the key in my eyes for the Raptors, everybody knows DeMar DeRozan, Kyle Lowry are going to hold their own. But you mentioned Serge Ibaka, C.J. Miles, and Norm Powell. If they get big shots at the necessary time, the Raptors are in the Eastern Conference Final. If they don't, the Raptors will be lucky to win one round. Let's talk about the next team, the Washington Wizards. What do you expect from the Washington Wizards this year, Rory?
The Washington Wizards are a very funny and unpredictable team, led by John Wall, Bradley Beal. My biggest thing, they're kind of like the Portland Trailblazers. They got a strong backcourt, but they don't have a dominant small forward. Gortat and the other cast that they have over there, they're not as strong. And I think they need – I would have loved to see Carmelo Anthony, to be honest, go over to this team. You know what I mean? It was a no-brainer to me in the offseason. He ended up settling, going for OKC. But Washington is going to be an asterisk. I'm not going to really stress on them too much. I want to see what they do going on in the last back half of the season. You know what I mean? Because they're arguably one of the top five teams. I just don't know this year. I'm very up and down with them right now.
Well, I actually like them. I think they're a tough squad. I think Otto Porter Jr. Is a guy that's come into his own on the small forward side, and he's ready to have a big season. And backing him up is Kelly Oubre Jr., who is, he's multifaceted and talented as well. I think John Wall has a chip on his shoulder. Bradley Beal, they want to get it done this year. They're going to be a dangerous team, guys. They might not have the greatest depth out there, but they do have guys like Markieff Morris who can put it in the basket. And also, they got Jody Meigs coming off the bench. He's a guy who can light it up for three. I think that they're going to need some of that from their team. But I think they're a dangerous squad. I don't think there's a lot of teams that want to play the Wizards. And if Bradley Beal and John Wall are clicking on all cylinders, I think they're going to be a really formidable team. And they could push themselves up. I mean, they finished, fourth in the East at 49 wins. If they pick it up, they could be one of the teams challenging for that third or second spot in the Eastern Conference.
You're listening to Ballin' NBA Season Preview with Drew Ebanks of On Point Basketball and Roy Mitchell of the Mitchell Report Unleashed. Let's talk about everybody's sort of Cinderella team last year, and if they didn't play the Raptors, everybody will want them to win one round or two rounds. That's the Milwaukee Bucks, who arguably have, I'm not going to say an up-and-comer. This guy's a superstar already. Drew, tell everybody who I'm talking about and what do you expect from the Milwaukee Bucks.
You're talking about Mr. Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Greek freak. Obviously, Kevin Durant pointed out that this guy could go down as possibly the best player ever. I'm not sure if he could be that good, but he's got the attributes of a machine. If he continues to develop, especially in the outside game, he's literally unstoppable. The Milwaukee Bucks are a team that has a lot of length, guys, as we know the last few years. Thon Maker, who we're familiar with from playing up here in Canada for a couple of years, he's looking to come back and have a great second season, starting at center over Greg Monroe, it's looking like, which is pretty crazy when you think of it, the seasoned vet. At power forward, somewhere that they're going to have to kind of hope they get a good performance from John Henson and Mirza Teletovic. Those are the guys that are looking to be the top two right there. I like Middleton at the shooting guard spot to start. And what can you say about Malcolm Brogdon? I mean, the kid is an incredible player. I love what he does on the floor. He's such a composed player. This team's going to get at you defensively. That's the thing that makes them dangerous. And with their length on defense, they quickly turn it around to offense. So it's going to be fun to watch them play. I want to see how much better Giannis can be after a tremendous season last year.
I'm going to tell you how good he's going to be right now. Giannis is going to be an MVP candidate, okay? I'll say it here first. The biggest thing is about that power forward position. Jabari is likely not to be back until, after January of next year, going into February. So hopefully that, keep him out, get that knee strong He's going to have to shake off the rust in the last month and a half of the season before they get in the playoffs. This team is scary. They are young. That's the biggest thing. They're scary, but they're young. The thing is, in basketball, when you can get yourself into like a 2-3 zone or a 3-2 zone, and you look at the length that they have out there, it's like walking into, I got to find the right analogy here. It's like walking into a heavily treed forest with all these lengths of trees and branches and stuff like that. You don't know where to go, and you can't just drive on a 2-3 zone or a 3-2 zone with this team. I really, really like this team and expect Malcolm Bardwan, their Thon Maker, and the youth on this team to really excel. I have this team, to be honest, ahead of Washington, and this is going to be, I'll go on record and I'll say this again, Cleveland, Boston, Milwaukee will be your three final teams vying for that Eastern Conference final.
All right, so that's what Rory says. Now let's get to, in my eyes, one of the most interesting teams, not only in the Eastern Conference, maybe in the entire NBA this year, and that's the Philadelphia 76ers. I don't know where to put these guys. Are they going to have it right away? Are they going to surprise people? Drew, what do you think?
I mean, it's very, they're very unpredictable. Obviously, they had the bad luck in terms of injuries over the season. But as they would say, trust the process.
Yeah. And what is the process?
The process is losing a lot of games.
What the process is?
The process is losing a lot of games and picking up players like Ben Simmons, who sits out a year and comes back to join Markelle Fultz. This team has potential to be a playoff team, but they also have potential to kind of implode as well, just because they have a leader. Well, I don't know if you could call him being a leader per se, but he's a guy who, you know what I mean, he's concentrating on a lot of things outside of basketball sometimes, and obviously he's had the injury woes. When you look at the lineup they have, they're looking pretty good. You know, they got Simmons, as we mentioned. Dario Saric is an incredible young player, Croatian. He's going to be able to carve out some minutes. And for behind the arc, they've got J.J. Redick, Nick Stauskas, the Canadian, the Mississauga product, going to have his minutes bumped down right now. And they're thinking they may not extend him. I think the deadline to extend him is tomorrow. So we'll see what happens with them. But he's had a rough preseason, shooting pretty poorly from three. Hopefully he can pick it up and be a part of their future long term. Now they're having some issues with Markelle Fultz, probably going to start, as their coach said, and he'll probably come off the bench. He's had some issues with, I believe, his shoulder, and he's also taking those horrendous looking free throws as well. I'm not sure what's going on there, but it's a bit of a concerning start for him. He's missed some time in preseason, with an injury as well. And at the small forward spot, they got Robert Covington. We'll see what he does. But, I mean, this team, if they gel together, they could be possible between, I'd say, maybe 7th and 8th spot for a playoff spot.
I'm not going to trust the process on this one. I'm going to tell you where I'm trusting the process. I'm trusting the process in the Jordan-branded Charlotte Hornets. You heard it here. The Charlotte Hornets. I like the backcourt, Kemba Walker, Malik Monk, the rookie from Kentucky. The biggest downside is they're going to lose Nicholas Batum for a bit, torn ligament in his elbow. But I like the resurgence, and I'm going to say this, Dwight Howard. I think Dwight Howard's the missing ingredient on this team. We want to talk about a sleeper. We want to talk about a team that's going to probably be 5th, 6th, 7th in the Eastern Conference. It's the Charlotte Hornets. This is gonna be an exciting team, and with Malik Monk and Kemba Walker in that backcourt, expect fireworks. This is looking a little bit like Washington Wizards nucleus that they have. We'd like to see a little bit more from Michael Carter Williams, so shout out to my Syracuse boys, my Syracuse team and whatnot. I like Jeremy Lamb's game. I think Michael Kidd Gilchrist should have been a little bit better than he was. him being in the league for as long as that he is. You know, I heard people are giving him comparisons to be somewhat similar playing style to LeBron, and we haven't seen it yet. But
I don't want to cut you off. I just want to add, me and you are on the same wavelength. I was thinking about him today. I was just remembering him coming out of high school and hype, like, this guy's going to be the next coming. And it's just, to me, it seems like I'm wondering where all the hype came from.
I don't know. It's because he's a Kentucky boy, you know? He's Kentucky. You know all the Kentucky boys get all the love, right? Shout out to Drake.
Yeah, Kentucky dad. together.
No, exactly. But no, I feel the Hornets are going to be the sleeper in the East. I expect them to niche themselves into the second round, believe it or not, in the playoffs.
I don't see it, brother.
All right. Let's talk about the rest of the teams quickly before we get to the Western Conference. Brooklyn, Indiana, Chicago, Miami, Atlanta, and Rory's favorite, the New York Knicks. Okay, over under, how many games do the Knicks win this year?
I don't know. I think they're in a rebuilding phase. I think the team's heavily going to be on Zingas. I don't know. I'd give them maybe 35, if that. I think they're going to be taking a lot of L's this year.
Which, in your estimation, Drew, which is a better New York team, Brooklyn or the New York Knicks?
That's tough to answer. I mean, Brooklyn right now, they're a team who are kind of in rebuilding mode, obviously.
Some people say they're going to get the 8th seed.
Ooh, Brooklyn?
Oh, my goodness.
I've been reading prognostications. Brooklyn? Yeah, they're saying Brooklyn will fight for the 8th and final seed in the East.
Man, okay. That's going to be a long shot right there for them. They got,
Go ahead, Drew.
I mean, I don't see their lineup. It doesn't scare me at all. I mean, Carroll, turning power forward, Mozgov in there, Alan Crabb, he's not a bad player. Jeremy Lin, you know, we know what Lin can do. And Russell, who got pitched away from the Lakers, obviously because of some of the things he did off the court more than anything. I don't know about this team, guys. I don't see them being able to do it. They don't have the guns to get it done, from what I can look at this roster.
Okay, so now the final question in the East. Let's first start off with Rory. Give me your top 8 teams in the Eastern Conference this year. And actually, let me say top 9 teams, the 19th, scratching and maybe lose out by a game or two. Go ahead.
Are we going? Is this in order? Do you want this in order, or do you just want?
Yes, I want in order. Yes.
Okay, so this is going to sound crazy. Okay, Cleveland, Boston, Milwaukee, Washington, Toronto. I'm going to say the Charlotte Hornets. I'm going to also say, believe it or not, this is going to sound crazy, the Indiana Pacers.
7th.
And I'm going to go on a limb, and I'm going to say the Miami Heat.
8th? Okay, so those are your top 8. Who's the 9th team who basically fights with Miami?
Then I would say the Brooklyn Nets.
All right.
I don't trust what's going on over in Philadelphia. I think that's an injury-plagued team, and that's just my 2 cents.
Okay, Drew?
I'm going with Cavs. Number one, Celtics. I'm going to go on the fly. I'm going Raptors, Wizards. And then coming in here, I'm going with the Bucks. I think that's 5. I think the Miami Heat can do some damage. I'm going with them at the 6th spot. I like Charlotte. Could have been a toss-up there. I'll give Charlotte the 7th. Spot right there, and who else did I have left out? Oh, the Pacers I got at number 8.
And who do you think is number 9?
Actually, you know what? Didn't I totally bypass the Sixers. I think they're going to be a team that could be right there. So, we'll put them in at 9. And they could, if they can pull it all together, they could fit somewhere in that 7-8 spot. But for now, I have them just outside.
All right, and now final question about the East. We're going to get to the West, and we've got to do a quicker job here. Final, who meets in the Eastern Conference Final? Drew first.
Ooh, wow. This is going to be interesting. Eastern Conference Final. Let's go Cavs. Wizards.
Cavs, Wizards. All right, Drew, you lost, you lost your Canadian Wojnarowski reference right now. All right, Rory.
I'm gonna go on a limb here. Celtics wins in seven.
Wow. All right. You know what? I'm going with the Raptors to make the Eastern Conference Final. I'm against the Celtics. I say the Cavs don't even get there. All right. So
whoa.
You're listening to Ballin' on barnburner.ca with Drew Ebanks of onpointbasketball.com and Rory Mitchell of the Mitchell Report Unleashed, our insider here for Barnburner. Now, let's get to the West. I'm not going to touch on the Golden State Warriors because in everybody's estimation, they're number one. Okay? So let's see who finishes 2, 3, 4 in the West. We got Houston, Oklahoma, you got the Clippers, you got, Portland, Houston. Sorry?
Don't forget the Spurs.
Yeah, the Spurs. So I'll ask you, who finishes second, third, fourth, and fifth?
Whew. Wow, this is very interesting. I got to go.
And
then,
first of all, do you agree that Golden State finishes number one?
Yes, obviously. No one really has the magic potion to kind of take them down at the moment. Kevin Durant is feeling good by winning his first championship. He's getting greedy. He wants more. Steph Curry's having the time of his life right there, so they're good to go. But I'll say that I like the Thunder. I think what they've added, obviously, they're going to have to fit it all in. But I think they can come up and rise to that second spot. I still think that the Rockets with Chris Paul, I think, are a bit underrated. I don't think anybody's really seeing the kind of impact. If they can really share the rock and move the rock, I think they're going to have a good chance of being there. So I have them at the third spot. And then I think San Antonio will come in at four in the Western Conference. You say you wanted four?
Okay, well, since you're there, give me another four. Give me the top eight.
top eight. I mean, the Grizzlies are always a team that can get something done with a guy like Mark Gasol anchoring them, Conley as well. I think they're due for a bounce back season. So I'm looking at them possibly in that fifth spot. I think a sleeper though could be the Denver Nuggets with Millsap over there. I think they're a team that could kind of rise and could finish anywhere in that top 6-7 range as well. So put them up there, Denver, and also Portland. You know, they always got a perpetual chip on their shoulder, especially Lillard. So, you know, they're a team that's going to be right in the mix as well. And other than that, I mean, the other team that could make strides this year, obviously Andrew Wiggins just signed that big contract, with the Minnesota Timberwolves. If they can put it together, you know, they could be a team that could not only make the playoffs, obviously adding Jimmy Butler and the parts they have coming off the bench, Crawford being one of them. They're a team that could fit into that fifth to eighth place standing if they can put it all together as well.
All right. Rory, noticed that Drew did not talk about the Utah Jazz.
I'm actually going to go on that. I got to go on the Arsenal here. I'm going to have to debate Drew, a little mini debate here, a little mini sparring match. So
they lost to
Houston.
Houston, overrated. Okay, I'm going to say that. They're overrated. On paper, they're overrated. Yes, you got Chris Paul. Yes, you got James Harden. Yes, you got Eric Gordon. Yes, you got Ryan Anderson. It's a volume shooting team over there. The D'Antoni system, it never worked in New York. It never worked in Phoenix when Steve Nash had that monster all-star team over there. So next, we're going to go to San Antonio. San Antonio, they look good on paper. My biggest asterisk, I don't think Rudy Gay is coming back from that Achilles injury. as the same player that we've seen him play once before. Once you tear your Achilles, the same LaMarcus Aldridge that goes disappeared against Golden State in the playoffs.
He's back. He talked to his
He's
talk.
Not
He's
back.
Back.
He's not back. He's not back. San Antonio is going to be that team that I feel the West. Here's the way I look at the complexion of the West, real quick. San Antonio looks younger, right? But there's questions with LaMarcus Aldridge and Rudy Gay with the Achilles. Houston, on paper, they look good. Green light system, I think they're overrated. OKC, you got Melo. You got Paul George. You got Russell Westbrook, right? You got Adam Silver.
Yeah.
Great team, but they're like the Miami Heat team that first constructed. They have to gel together. They have to gel together first. Right.
So you just called out some of the top teams in the West.
Yes, I'm gonna call them out because I'm gonna put this out here in the table here. I think Minnesota, and I'm not saying this because I'm a Minnesota Timberwolves fan. I'm not being biased here. I think that's the team that nobody's talking about. Thibodeau's
well,
team.
Hey, I'll talk about it.
Hey, I just said they can finish
5th to 8th. They're finishing 4th to 3rd.
I agree. I actually agree with Rory. I think Oklahoma 2nd, and I think it's – and you guys haven't talked about, like I said, Utah and the Clippers. I expect, you know, now the Clippers don't have as much pressure on them, perceived pressure, because Chris Paul left.
But here's the thing. Utah is not going to be able to score. They're a defending team. They don't have – who's the first scorer? Who's scoring on that team? Rudy Gobert? It's his team. It's going to be the team that he has to carry on his back. They lost a key player, though. They lost a guy that can be 25, 30 points a night. I don't see that happening. But I'm going to be honest here. If I had to break down the West, I'm going Golden State. I'll say OKC. I'll put them as a little asterisk beside their name. I'm going to say San Antonio, Minnesota, Houston, right? And this is where I'm going to debate Drew here. I don't think Memphis. I think Memphis is going to be your 7th or your 8th seeded team. We're not crediting that the Lakers with Kyle Kuzma is Lonzo Ball.
Hold on, Rory. That was actually my next question with the Lakers. Okay,
yeah.
Now a lot of people are saying that, you know, they could finish anywhere from 11th to 6th. Now,
no.
I don't believe they finished 6th. I think there's a lot of pressure because of his dad on Ball. His dad puts so much pressure that, you know, and you mentioned Tracy Murray, now former Raptor, now UCLA broadcaster. He said this guy, Kuzma, is even better, and nobody's talking about him. They talk about Marquez Rose and everything, and this guy in L.A., and he's been playing lights out in the preseason, and you got to know that. But where do you think the Lakers end up? Because some pundits have it 11th. Some of them say in the playoffs, and not even in the playoffs, the 6th seed. Drew, what do you think, first of all?
No chance for the playoffs. No chance for the 6th seed. You know, this is the West we're talking about, Joe. This is not a joke thing right here, as we would say. The Lakers are a young team. You know what I mean? The Lakers are a young team right now. Their team, obviously, when you have the balls being mentioned, there's going to be a lot of hype around that. There's going to be a lot of enthusiasm. But their league, I mean, look how many stars even left the East to go over to the West and continue to move over there. I just don't see them being able to put it together. They've got, obviously, Brandon Ingram, Julius Randle, KCP, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Lonzo Ball.
Kyle Kuzma.
Oh, yeah, he's a great player. I saw him in Summer League. I loved him. I think they got one of the draft steals, if not the draft steal right there. But he's not going to be able to do it himself, guys. As much as you want to vote for this Laker team and root for them, the NBA is the teams that win are teams with experience, and they're not young teams. Young teams hardly ever win. You saw even the Minnesota Timberwolves had a lot of talent the last few years, guys that got drafted pretty high and didn't go anywhere. Obviously, being in the West doesn't help your chances. So I think the Lakers are going to finish somewhere in the, I'd say, 10th, 9th to 11th positions in the Western Conference.
Now, I'm going to ask Rory this. Nobody talked about New Orleans. They got two studs there. You know them. Where does New Orleans finish?
New Orleans finishes. Here's the thing about New Orleans and in basketball. When you break down the game of basketball, yes, it starts in your post, that presence. They've got arguably, oh my God, the top, I would say top five center in the league, top five power forward in the league with Anthony Davis and DeMarcus Cousins. My biggest thing is they don't have anybody on that team that can knock down shots. You grab rebounds, you reset the play, you pass it back to your point guard, which is now Rajon Rondo. I don't know anybody else on that team that's going to elevate their game. There's a couple players that I would have liked to see go over there. I know J.J. Redick's name in the offseason before he signed with, I think now he's playing with Philadelphia, would have been a nice addition over to New Orleans. I don't see it. Here's the thing with this. I think if they choke the season, I think one of those two players are moving, or maybe you move both and you go into a whole different direction. It will be a shakeup because I don't think that they stay in the West. I think they go over to the East, and whoever can pick either AD or DeMarcus Cousins up, most likely in the East, may potentially go to the NBA, to the NBA finals. God help the NBA if DeMarcus Cousins' rumors have been true from the last couple of years of him going over to Cleveland. If he goes over to Cleveland and Cleveland's got the pieces, Golden State will not beat that team. I'm sorry. It's never going to happen.
All right,
is for wishful thinking.
I got to ask you this as we close up the Western Conference. Sacramento Kings have arguably the best former Toronto Raptor on his team now, Vince Carter. How many years do you think Vince Carter has left, Drew?
Well, Vince is he's getting up there, a little long in the tooth right now. I personally think that this may be it. I mean, he says he's not chasing rings. That's interesting. You'd think that he'd want to get a ring at this point.
How about chasing playoff wins instead of going to get your diploma?
Yeah, I mean, we can go back over that one, obviously, but he's right now, Vince is just kind of playing out the string. We'll see what happens with him, but I think this will be the last season for him.
Rory, let me ask you, who's your offensive, defensive, and rookie of the year? Also, who's your coach of the year?
Okay, so offensive, that's a tough one. I'm gonna parking lot that one. I wanna see if Drew can answer that one for me. Defensive, I'm not gonna go with the fan favorite. I'm actually gonna go with the people that everybody loves to hate. Draymond Green. You gotta give enough respect to Draymond Green. He's a volatile piece for the Golden State Warriors. Rookie of the year. I'm going with the Ball era, the Ball control, Lonzo Ball himself. And coach of the year, I'm going to say it, I have to, Tom Thibodeau of the Minnesota Timberwolves.
All right, that's his favorite team. Go ahead. Now, Drew, get the same question to you.
He's going to be the offensive player of the year?
Offensive, Ooh. Defensive, rookie, coach of the year, the guy who on-point basketball honors other than Joseph Haysom. So go ahead.
Offensive player of the year, man. I mean, we're not talking MVP here. We're just talking who's going to get it done offensively. I think Westbrook's going to take a hit, obviously, with the two guys there. But I don't see Kevin Durant scoring going anywhere. I see him being right up there in terms of offensive player of the year. I just don't see anybody stopping him. Defensive player of the year. I mean, I think. It's going to be a breakout year, in my opinion, for a guy like Rudy Gobert. I mean, he's been there.
Mm. Okay.
I just, if he puts it all together, he's already a rock defensively. I mean, if he gains confidence and continues that, I mean, this guy, I think the sky's the limit. And he's been talking a lot since Hayward's been gone, just basically saying, you know what, this, we got a squad here. Don't underestimate what we're going to do. So we'll see what happens right there. And you're saying for coach of the year, coach of the year. Who was your pick, Rory?
I said Thibodeau.
Thibodeau, you love those Minnesota Timberwolves, don't you?
I guarantee they have a better record than the Toronto Raptors.
Hey, allow off the Raptors, okay, buddy? Take it easy right there.
All right, we'll come back.
Hold on. We can do something here. Hold on. I got a couple in mind, but I'm not sure.
All right, I'm going to call Alex Trebek. The Jeopardy theme song is playing. Come on.
Jeopardy theme song, coach of the year.
All right, pick it. Or we're going to ask another question here. But you never know. This is going to cut off. Come on.
I think even though Boston finished first last year, I want to see what Stevens can do with a team that's gutted. So I look for him to be one of the guys that are going to be right up there in terms of coaches. And as for players, rookie of the year, I'm going with Ben Simmons. That's my pick for rookie of the year.
All right. So now, Rory, one of the final questions. Give me your NBA finals prediction. Not who wins, just the final.
You're going to see the trilogy. Golden State.
Actually, no.
No, we're not.
All right, he
Boston
goes with
Celtics.
Trilogy. Now he's not going. What's wrong with you?
No. Because this is something that came to my mind, and I'm going to stick with this. Boston, Golden State. Book it. Boston Celtics against the Golden State Warriors.
All right, so let me ask you this. Boston, Golden State repeats, correct?
Golden State probably sweeps Boston.
All right. So, Boston, Golden State. So, Drew, what do you say?
Oh, man, I don't know about Boston going there. I have to go with the Cleveland Cavs. If they stay healthy, I think they're going to be in that championship again. I think the Raptors have a chance. You know, they can pull it together. And obviously, we said that the Wizards, I think, have a chance too. And so do the Celtics. But I think ultimately, when you have a guy like LeBron on and the depth that they have, it's more than likely going to be the Cavs going through again, and obviously Golden State. It's going to be interesting, though, because with the depth that the Cavs have this year, I mean, they have the tools. I mean, really, if they get to that championship series, if they get to the finals, I mean, you throw it all out there, and they have a chance to win it. Ah, man, this is tough, though. This is really tough. Woo! This is really tough.
The Jeopardy song is playing again. Wow.
Okay. I'm going out on a limb. I'm saying the Cavs get the revenge this year.
All right.
Okay, hold on. Okay, can I ask a question real quick? Rebuttal. How's Isaiah Thomas and his little self going to guard Steph Curry? I'll wait for that answer.
How's he going to guard him? I mean,
he can't guard. Isaiah Thomas will not be able to face guard Steph Curry.
Yeah, but he's got to play D on Isaiah, too. Isaiah can get after him just as much. And if he's healthy, he's going to be as much as a tough matchup. I think the key for them is to make Steph Curry play defense and make Steph Curry run him off some screen, you know, hit him up a little bit, you know, hurt him a bit.
Who do you think Steph Curry has a harder time playing against? Isaiah Thomas or Kyrie Irving?
I'll answer that question. His dad.
Oh, Kyrie's kind of giving him the business.
Exactly. Kyrie gives Steph the business. I don't think Isaiah, I'm being serious, Isaiah's not checking Steph Curry. Steph Curry probably gets finals MVP. just because of how much he's going to abuse that.
Now, let me tell you this. You want to know my prediction here. I'm going to give you my prediction. This year in the offseason, it was such a wacky offseason. Everybody moved, correct? Everybody, all the big stars moved, everything. I don't even think we're going to see a trilogy. I think that Boston is going to play OKC. Revenge goes to Russell Westbrook.
All right.
And how fitting that would that be? Because look at the off season that we had, and finally Russell Westbrook then becomes a champion with Paul George and Carmelo Anthony finally getting it done. And a big question, they're already saying that, you know, Paul George is going to go to Lakers and everybody's going to go to Lakers. What do you think? Let's say we fast forward to next October 2018. What do you think is going to be the story in the NBA next year? Drew?
In the offseason?
Well, let's say we're in October 2018. Basically, the story, what I'm trying to say is, does Paul George, does everybody go to the Lakers?
Yeah, you and I, we're all going to L.A. We're all going to be there.
No, yeah, I'm Toronto boy. You want to go with the bling bling, go.
I mean, obviously, that's the rumor that's going around. We'll have to wait and see what happens then. I mean, not everybody can't go to the one squad. You know, obviously, LeBron is going to be interesting to see what he does. He could end up sticking around. You know, now that, you know, Kyrie's gone, he could change his mind and say, hey, let's stay here and build it up. For PG, yeah, that's a definite possibility that he could end up there.
All right, Drew. Mean McGorry.
We're in two Drews tonight. the biggest headline going into next year will be, where does LeBron James end up?
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Here's the plot twist. I'm going to say something crazy. I'm going to say this right now, and I know Toronto fans are going to probably say, who am I? Who does the Drake ambassador is Drake? I mean, the Toronto ambassador is Drake, sorry. Drake and LeBron have close ties to each other. For some strange reason, LeBron James's name attached to the city of Toronto seems like a homecoming.
You know what I'm going to say to
it
that?
It sounds like such a legendary move for him to finish his career to bring a championship to the city of Toronto.
Now, hold on. Now, what you know what I'm going to say to that? And listen very closely. If that happens, the Raptors started from the bottom, and now we're here. That's all I'm saying.
That would send shockwaves throughout the NBA if that ever happened.
You talk about Raptors never having a Christmas Day game. Raptors never playing a big marquee. If LeBron James comes to Toronto, Toronto Raptors are bigger than the Maple Leafs or right on par.
But here's the thing we have to question ourselves. If you land LeBron, I don't think DeMar DeRozan is going to be there. I don't think Kyle Lowry is going to be there because you're going to have to free up some room. So I don't know. I just see things differently.
All right. So LeBron, we land LeBron James. We don't have DeMar DeRozan. We don't have Kyle Lowry. But you know who we have? Rory Mitchell of the Mitchell Report Unleashed. Drew Ebanks of allpointbasketball.com. Shut them out. Tell everybody what you can expect throughout the basketball season on Point.
Well, I mean, we'll be around, obviously, covering Canadian basketball from the grassroots right up to the pros. We got a big surprise going to be unleashed probably either next week or the week after to all the Ballin' listeners out there. We're making some moves and taking On Point to the next level. So you'll hear it right here first before you hear it anywhere else.
We better hear it on here, Ballin' with myself, Drew Ebanks.
And,
And if Rory is correct, maybe we've got to have Rory as a special co-host or something like that. Imagine if LeBron James comes to Toronto. Wow. All right, Rory Mitchell, Mitchell Report Unleashed. What can people expect to hear from you in the next couple weeks?
I have my anniversary coming up. 1 year anniversary for the podcast, Mitchell Report Unleashed. Trying to get
when's that anniversary? When's that anniversary?
I said October 31st, 2017.
Oh, that's a very scary night.
Yeah, that's when all the ghouls and the goblins and the tricks
October
and the treats come out.
That's your anniversary. Is it also true that you're going to be dressed like Drew Ebanks?
That'll be a scary costume, buddy.
Well, it is. But you said it.
I've seen Drew, and Drew, I think, I don't know, I think he's shorter. I think I stand a little taller than him, so having a tall Drew Ebanks running around between London and Toronto.
Here's the question I'd like to ask you. Which one is scarier, Joe or Drew?
I'm not going to comment on that.
All right. Drew, I'll leave the last comment to you. Anything else that you want to say here on the third episode of Ballin NBA season preview?
Well, you know that I always have to check for the Canadian guys, and I want to shout out Anthony Bennett. Obviously, it's been a tough few years for him. Got waived again by the Suns. Want to shout out Xavier Rattan Mays. Unfortunately, got waived by the Knicks. That Mitri Long got let go by the Jazz. But there is some positive news. Guys like Dylan Brooks, who's doing his work over in Memphis, you know, dropping buckets, you know, hitting deep threes. And another great story on the Canadian end, Ken Birch, for the Orlando Magic. He signed for the season. He's guaranteed a minimum of $400,000. If he lasts till, I believe, January 8th, he gets the full, what, 815, somewhere around there. And Chris Boucher from the Oregon Ducks, who tore his ACL towards the end of his last season at Oregon, signed a two-way contract with the Golden State Warriors. So they really like him. He's probably going to play a lot of games with his G League affiliate, but he is. It seems that he might be in their plans for the future. And big up my man Dwight Powell doing his thing down at Denver. And, of course, guys like Jamal Murray looking good in Denver as well. Possibly the starter right there. With Trey Lyles looking to possibly get some minutes, although it's going to be hard for him with the logjam at the power forward position. So shout out all the Canadians. Tyler Ennis looking good in preseason. Corey Joe, obviously, and Kelly Olynyk could have the starting spot over James Johnson or could come off the bench. But either way, he's going to get a ton of minutes. And like we mentioned before, Nick Stauskas, man, get that shot back. It's time. I know you're behind J.J. Redick, but it's time, man. When you come off the bench, start making those shots, you'll be fine.
Two final things I'm going to ask you. You mentioned the G League. Do you think Raptors 905 can repeat? And how many of the players, especially Tuesday, Wednesday, the first week of NBA season, are going to take a knee or something with the flag? Drew, start off with you.
I don't know if they can repeat, obviously. Kind of hard to tell. It depends on who the other teams have in terms of talent that's, you know, really good but not quite NBA ready. But they have the infrastructure in place. Coach Stackhouse is incredible. Their staff, the organization, they are from top to bottom, they're first rate. So I think they definitely will be right in the running to have a pretty good season as well. And they could definitely repeat. The G League Showcase is here in Toronto. In Mississauga as well at the Hershey Center for the second year in a row. That's a tremendous opportunity for fans out there to see some basketball just under the NBA level, but with some NBA guys splashed in as well.
All right. Rory, any thoughts about the G League or how many people are going to take a knee in the NBA?
I don't really see that happening in the NBA. I think you're going to see a lot more unity as them as kind of like locking arms during the national anthem. They did something similar like this, the time where it was, I believe it was Eric Gardner. I know it was LeBron, Dame Lillard, all had shirts, Don't Breathe shirts that they were wearing. So I don't think they're gonna, I think they're gonna kind of take a step back from that and show more unity, and do things more, in the community and, you know, spread the awareness the way they need to spread that awareness. I don't see these guys really taking me, at this for the NBA, I think it's a little different, right? I think, you know, NBA is NBA, NFL is NFL. So, you know, they're both different from their own. And there's some other things that need to be addressed right now. We've already seen it, you know, like, you know, just, I know it's a basketball show, but real quick, you know, Kaepernick filing that injunction against the NFL owners is big, you know, and it's about time, you know, that's a cause to action. So,
all right, I'm going to
break some news. You got to stand up for what you believe in.
Hold on, I'm going to break some news as we close out this installment of Ballin'. Drew, we talked about this a few weeks ago on the first episode of Ballin'. Toronto possibly getting a WNBA team, correct?
That's correct. They will be getting a WNBA team. It's just a matter of when, not if.
Correct. Now, do you want to know the matter of when? The matter of when will happen on October 31st, since Rudy mentioned, it looks like they are scouting either Ricoh Coliseum or the Mattamy Center in time for Toronto to be awarded a WNBA team for 2019. That's what I have heard from a couple sources, that either playing out of the Mattamy Center or Ricoh Coliseum. And if that happens, look for Raptors 905 to possibly move to either of those venues. But I have heard it under good authority that WNBA will be expanding and will be expanding to Toronto in time for the 2019 season. I have heard prior 2020, but now I'm hearing 2019. A shout out to Rory's team, Minnesota, for capturing the WNBA championship. But as we close out this segment, what do you think of that breaking news, Drew?
Wow, that's very interesting. I mean, I think it's been long overdue. And WNBA is a great league for some of the top women's players, obviously most of the top women's players from around the world. And I think it's going to be great to have that here in the GTA in Toronto for the young ladies growing up and the young boys to see the amazing talent that the WNBA brings. So it's a fantastic thing. As far as the 905 moving, I'm not sure about that. I don't know what's happening with that. But as long as there's a G League affiliate in Toronto, I think it's a great way for fans to see lower cost. I wouldn't say lower level because the quality of play is pretty great, pretty good. I would say just a more affordable way to watch professional and semi-professional basketball players. So I think
all right. Once again, you've been listening to Ballin' here on barnburner.ca with Drew Ebanks of onpointbasketball.com. Check it out. A great, great website covering everything you want to know in the basketball world, specifically Canada. And Rory Mitchell of the Mitchell Report Unleashed. And especially check out Rory's anniversary episode on Halloween, October 31st. Maybe me and Drew can be part of that, Rory, right?
That's what I was kind of planning. We'll talk about that off
all right. Recording. Anyway,
congratulations, Rory.
Yes, thank you, Drew. I appreciate that.
Congratulations.
And real quick, I know a lot of people, you know, get opportunities and whatnot to be with two big time standout guys happening, doing big things in Canada with Barnburner, yourself, Joe, and Drew doing stuff with On Point Basketball, but I will say this again, you know, thank you for sharing this opportunity, letting me have the time to come on, you know, your show, Drew, and really just, you know, just talk hoops, you know, and it's a blessing, you know what I mean? And again, like I said, thank you. Really appreciate that.
All right, for that comment, Drew, maybe we've got to give him a pair of tickets for that 905 game in London, right? All right.
We'll see what we can do, man. I'll hook him up.
All right. That's Ballin' here on barnburner.ca. Enjoy the NBA season, and hopefully we'll have lots of news to talk to or about in the next few weeks. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thanks. Thank you. Great job.